The last time I flew to Mexico, I had to land at an airport and show them my passport. And so the fact that the federal government, Biden, is cutting razor wire, it just makes no sense at all. And so, yes, we have the right to defend our country against invasion. And what else would you call it if you've got 6 million people coming through illegally?
That's Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt, who says that Texas Governor Greg Abbott is correct. And now we have it's like a team of Republican governors and a team of different states that have joined together band together to help fight this border war, because it's a border war. Let's just be honest about what it is. Welcome to the program. Dana Loesch here with you, top of this third hour. It is our last day in Vegas, and I got to tell you, I like seeing everybody every year, but oh boy, I am grateful to get home. I'm always so happy to go back home. But very busy, good week, and our last day here. We got a couple of guests. We also got the whistleblower who blew the horn on Fast and Furious coming up later on in the program. So, Daryl Issa. But first and foremost, if you're not listening around the country, make sure you check out the podcast archives as well. And we got stuff up at YouTube and Facebook that you can see some very interesting conversations from the past couple of days. So, 25 states signed a joint statement. And they are now a team of states, a huge list of states: Florida, Virginia, Georgia, North Dakota, South Dakota, Tennessee, Alabama, Montana, Idaho, Utah, West Virginia, Oklahoma, Nebraska, Louisiana, I believe Missouri, and some others I think have already signed up now as a result of this, this dereliction of duty from the federal government and the antagonistic behavior that they have towards the state of Texas. And so this is wild. I mean, to see the stuff that's happening, to see the people, that the convoys that are coming across the Rio, and now Greg Abbott he's saying, no, we're going to hold the line. This is it. We're declaring an invasion. We talked about this yesterday. We're declaring that this is an invasion, and we're going to do everything possible to not just, you know, repel it, but we're also going to do everything possible to make sure that we're not going to have people be crossing in like this anymore. And we'll see what the Department of Justice does. But, you know, the crazy thing is that this would not be such a problem for Biden if they actually, I mean, if they simply did their job. I mean, it seems kind of crazy to be like, all you got to do is your job, guys. All you got to do is your job. But here we are. And you have national security leaders that are also raising alarm over this, everything that's happening at the border. You know, we were talking about, you know, known terrorists crossing it just, you know, this week. I mean, it's a national security crisis. I think it's a humanitarian crisis last, because I think there are a lot of people just taking advantage of it and then acting like it's a humanitarian crisis so that they can shame you and say, oh, you're being rude. You're so hateful. Why do you hate people? This is a humanitarian crisis. And they want to act like that's the veneer that they're going to use to mask all this other stuff. I mean, I look at these people coming across and they're dudes. It's like that Ricky Gervais joke. Oh, it's just you lads then, is it? Okay, come on over. Let's go. That's true. That's kind of how it is. It's just, you hear the phrase, it's fighting age males, but they say, and I was reading it again, oh, it is a humanitarian crisis. It's a national security issue. It's a national security issue, first and foremost. Humanitarian crises, they don't look like this. These are people taking advantage of it and claiming it, like I just said, claiming humanitarian crisis as a way to deflect justifiable accusations of criminal wrongdoing by illegally entering a country. They're creating a problem for themselves. But it's not a humanitarian crisis. That's weak, and it's an excuse, and they're trying to emotionally manipulate you to shut you up, to make you look like you're hard-hearted and callous, and you don't care about humans, and because you don't care about humans, you don't get a say in this debate. That's what this is. It's a tactic to shut you up. But this is a national security issue. You cannot have hundreds of thousands of people streaming across the border like this. I don't know. Honestly, I really don't feel like we should have to follow any other laws if the administration's not going to follow this one. I'm going to tell you what, you're going to push people, good people, people who are honorable and follow the law and do their part. You're going to push them to a point where they don't want to follow the law. And by God, those are the people that you do not want to get to that point. Historically, all throughout time, all throughout the history of humankind, whenever those types of people have been pushed to the breaking point, serious tectonic shifts have occurred. And that is the point you do not want to reach. Because I tell you what, you push a lawless society, I'll win it. That's the thing. Don't mess with people like that. There are a lot of other people will too. The people that the federal government doesn't like, those are the people being charged with stuff. So do not push people to this point. Do your jobs. You know, we entered into this social contract with the understanding that, all right, we're going to invest this authority in you by way of consent of our vote. I don't like income taxes and all, it's theft. We're going to pay the taxes. You can't even own your own property. We're going to pay property tax. We're going to do all this stuff. And what are we getting for it? Where's the return on the investment of the money we put in the system? Because I sure as hell do not pay the taxes that I pay in Texas to have an open border. I sure as hell do not pay the taxes that I pay in Texas to have 290,000 plus people streaming across the border in just the month of December alone. I don't pay taxes in Texas just to have 245-mile stretch of the border making the cartels $35 million a week. We don't do that. And this federal government, they need to get it together. I got to tell you, I'm here at SHOT Show. Have you seen, Kane, have you walked past some of the, for the people who don't know, National Shooting Sports Foundation, it's like a gun community, all the fire, it's a private event, but it's bigger than any other convention. And you also have government and military contractors here. And you got people from Hollywood that come in, armorers, they look for prop stuff, you know, all that kind of stuff. But you have FFLs and, you know, all the firearms that are going to be on the shelves are going to be unveiled, you know, all of that. Those come out at NSSF SHOT Show first. But you see, have you seen the government booths came? No. Like Department of Homeland Security
I haven't been over there.
Dude, I walked past one the other day, and I don't feel like I have to pay the modern day indulgence of saying, well, there are some nice people. Shut up, I'm not doing that. But I walked past the booth and I'm like, for real? You know, my antenna that recognizes sketchiness just goes up. Burp, 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 burp.
It's in your American DNA.
Dude, I'm telling you. And I'm like, another damn government agency. It's my first thought. I walked past three of them. And that was my first thought every time. I'm like, another damn government agency.
Those booths could have been taken up by some good, legitimate private sector.
I'm telling
businesses.
You what. I'm telling you what. And I'm looking at all these booths. And they're for military contracting. And I'm like, so this is what my tax dollars buy? If my tax dollars can buy that, why the hell can't I buy it? I mean, if you want to know really where I am on a scale of one to liberty, I don't like scales. That's where I'm at. But I was looking at this. I was looking at some of this stuff. Like, for instance, you know, we were at Ohio Ordnance, right? And they got that Reaper. It's a 50 cal. You legit can take this thing apart. It's like Voltron. And you can put it in a backpack. And I think that's military. Only military can get it right now. And I'm right now. It's gonna be. But I'm like, right now. What if I want it? What if I want it? I'm like, what? I would like to get it. If they can get it, then hell, I pay tax dollars. I want to buy a Reaper, dude. It's so cool. It fits legit into a backpack. Ladies, you could fit this thing into a Louis duffel. Kid you not. You get you the big Speedy. You can shove it in that big Speedy. I kid you not. It was a big Speedy. It? Don't you be shaking your head. Yes, you absolutely can. You could get one of the big duffels. You can get them secondhand for a few hundred bucks. I kid you not. And you get you a Reaper and you put it in there. Just take it apart. You go to the range. Can you imagine rolling up? Your wife rolling up to the range.
That's new definition.
Takes out her duffel. And for real, you can get those on the second hand for like a few hundred bucks. That's it. Can bring up your Louis duffel. You open it up. And you amaze everybody else at the range taking out that 50 cal. Putting it together like Voltron. It's so great. But I mean, why can't I have that? My tax dollars pay for it. Where's mine? I mean, if I can buy it with my tax dollars, I want it. So again, on a scale of one to liberty, I throw the scale out the window. That's me. So it might not be for everyone, and that's okay. But I don't care, because it's for me. So I'm walking around looking at these booths, and I'm like, I'll be damned. Another government department. I haven't seen, sometimes they got Border Patrol and all that here, and they're all real nice. And the types of people who come out to these events generally are not anti-gun or anti-people with guns or anti-liberty. I mean, they're pretty cool people. They're typically not like that. But I don't know, I'm telling you, this and I'm watching, they have they're working on a border deal. The Senate's dealing with this, having this border deal, and they're making accusations of negotiating in secret and all of this other stuff. I've just about had it. I'm going to tell you what, you don't want to have a standoff at the border. There's a lot of people in Texas that have items that they literally bought in case something like this would happen. Oh, don't all those people out there gasping and grabbing their pearls. You damn sissies. Look, people forget how this country was founded, and people forget that the government is supposed to be afraid of the people. There is not supposed to be a best friend type relationship there. The government is supposed to go, oh my gosh, it's them again. That's how it's supposed to look. That's how it's supposed to sound. That's how it's supposed to feel. It's not supposed to be besties. Y'all are not supposed to be going to cocktail parties. I always get weirded out when people get so cozy and comfy with these folks. I'm like, they're your employees. Not only are they your employees, but a lot of them are shady with your cash. Why are you getting all comfortable with them? It's weird. Quit it. You're not that poor in friends that you got to go make friends with people who are in D.C. Stop it. Matt, what's wrong with you? But it's just weird. But I get they're negotiating over this stuff, and I've just about had it. And like I said, you know, you have a border standoff in Texas. There are people who have waited they're prepared for stuff like this. They've got items to deal with these things, but they're good law-abiding people. You know, they go about their lives. They just want to be left alone. They want to go to church. They want to raise their families. They want to work. They want to go jet skiing on the weekends. You know, that's all they want to do. Fishing. They just want to live their lives, right? You push them to where they can't live their lives peacefully, and you're going to have problems. And this whole country was created by people who got pushed to the point where they couldn't live peacefully, and thus there were problems. And that's where we're at now. So I'm just saying, don't be messing with people. Don't be pushing people to that point. Do your job at the border. It's a very simple exchange. You do your job. We live in peace. But don't sit here and say, well, we're not going to follow these laws, but you got to follow all of those laws. Oh, as my grandmother would say, hail, H-A-I-O, hail no. It's not how it's going to work. Our partners over at Nemi Skincare, new year, new you. You want to get skincare. I mean, look, this is a very personal issue for women, particularly. And that's why so many women, it didn't matter what side of the political spectrum they were on, were livid when they saw all of these skincare companies start marketing skincare products using men cosplaying as women, because women's skin is different and we have different needs at different stages of our lives. And Nemi Skincare understands this. So it's a made in the USA company owned by people who are like-minded. They do not test on animals, which is, you know, might be important to you. It is to me. They also don't have parabens or any other stuff that actually aggravates your skin and can accelerate aging. They have really, really great ingredients in all of their wake-up routines, their bedtime moisturizing routines, and you can save 10% off using code Dana at Nemi Skincare. They have their morning routine includes vitamin C, peptides to brighten and improve elasticity of your skin, make it glow, even skin tone, complexion. Their moisturizing routine that you can use at night, ultra hydrating, which is a really good boost when it gets cold and dry outside during winter, replenishes your skin while you sleep. It has retinol, all kinds of good things that the skin needs. And they support your values. And again, made in the USA. Nemi skincare products are 100% guaranteed. So treat your skin nicely and take the guesswork out of your routine with Nemi skincare. NIMI, NemiSkincare.com. Use promo code Dana for 10% off.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Because no, we can never have any good things. They're now recalling Tussin. Well, some people. They said that, I don't know who this is, Haleon recalled several of its cough medicines nationwide due to potential product contamination. They recalled 8 lots of the Tussin. I'm not calling it Robo-Tussin or Robitussin. Is that not how you say it? You don't say Robo-Tussin?
No, I've always said Tussin.
Yeah, because what is it?
Robitussin.
Robitussin?
Yeah.
I always thought it literally was like Robo-Tussin. Cough medicine and disguise. Robo-Tussin. I don't know, I just thought it was. Anyway, Tussin. the Tussin Honey CF Max Day Adult. So basically, if it has a super long name and the word adult in it, probably was recalled. They said there's like some microbial contamination. Hold on. How do you have microbial contamination in Tussin? How does that work? Doesn't Tussin kill everything?
You're supposed to take Tussin if you've got a microbial issue, I think.
Wait a minute. I'm like, my world's getting rocked. Man, every single time I was sick, my mom's like, we got to get some Tussin. I'm like, ooh, okay, all right.
Rub some Tussin on it.
Get some Tussin. Yes. Oh, and it's the severe cough, flu, cold, whatever, all that stuff. Basically, I think it's like if it has honey in it. That's what it seems like the common denominator. Yeah, anyway, check your cabinets. Isn't it like a natural, whatever, anti-germ thing, honey?
Yeah, honey's really good.
Okay, yeah. I'm trying to understand this. Okay, this story, NBC, a woman stole a Walmart shopper's horse and buggy while they were in a shopping...
What?
Well, they were shopping in Michigan. It was in a Walmart parking lot. It was a Sturgis in Michigan. And they said that a truck driver who was parked said a woman stole a buggy and gave officials a description of the lady. She was arrested at a nearby hotel, stolen horse and buggy. The horse was not harmed. The buggy was returned, thankfully, because I was going to have to go to Sturgis and beat the living daylights out of her if something had happened to that horse. You guys know I'm like very with the animals. Let's see. Eric Adams, the New York City mayor, declares social media an environmental toxin. Oh, guys, he's so proud of himself. They got all kinds of illegal immigration problems, crime, raping and murdering and stabbings and all kinds of stuff. But hey, you know what? Social media is a public health hazard and an environmental toxin. And he says that we're the first city in the nation to do this, to declare it a public health hazard. Hoop-a-doo! Guess what? You get a good citizen award. You're just be clapping. I can't stand these morons. I'm like Major Daria today. I just warning y'all now. We got a lot more on the way, including all the RNC drama. Stick with us. Our partners that help bring you free radio, our friends over at Wise Foods, they want you to be prepared because the last thing that you want to think about is where your next meal is going to come from during a time of crisis. And this is where Wise Food Storage comes in. They have a buy one, get one free discount, 72-hour food kit. Visit wisefoodstorage.com. Type in Dana in the search bar. That gets you the access to all of the deals, including the buy one, get one. That's $100 value for $50. You have two boxes of delicious, all made in the USA, freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life survival food that features 20 total calories in each kit. There's also the heirloom seed vault, 39 variety of seeds, non-hybrid, non-GMO, open pollinated heirloom varieties as well. And each kit contains more than 4,500 seeds. So order yours today at wisefoodstorage.com. Type Dana in that search bar to get exclusive deals like the buy one, get one free on that 72-hour food kit. Just visit wisefoodstorage.com, code Dana.
Are we seeing the downfall of Marxism? You can believe BlackRock and put your money into DEI and ESG, but the free market will eventually win out every time. As they gain power to implement societal change, you're starting to see it fail. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
Beer brewed here, it is used to make the brew beer in this final. Oh, Earth Rider, thanks for the Great Lakes. I wonder why.
What the hell? The brewer beard here. Do you beer brew? What? Dude, do you beer brew?
No. I
know you can brew beer, but can you beer brew? The brew beard here. I mean, it's great beard brew here, bro. That's Joe Biden. You can hear him, and if you've never, ever had alcohol, that's what it feels like. That's it. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. It's the bear bird here, bro. Bird. It's bro bird here, bro. It's like blah, 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 blah. That's what it's like. Arrested Development. Oh, my gosh. Where was he at? He's in Wisconsin. He's just nuts. Listen, audio sent by 10. Is this the brew beard here? Is this what he's talking about? He got real mad all of a sudden.
Message is working.
He said 10.
Two, sorry, two, not 10. That's Newsom. I don't want to hear him.
It costs $10 to make it. $10 to make it.
What? Is that it costs $10 to make the brew beard there, bruh?
It's kind of expensive. What is it, some IPA?
Some I don't
local,
even know, man.
Local brew.
You know what IPA stands for?
No, what?
Bitter sludge. What? Who said that?
You're not wrong.
There's a bug in the system. So, I don't know. Man, this, I mean, we have some crazy sound bites from him. Like, for instance, audio soundbite 6. This is a, you know, classic stage whispering.
And thanks to the outstanding senators, Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin. Tammy, go on. And Amy Klobuchar and Tina Smith from the state of Minnesota. If I have all three of them on my side, I don't worry about anything.
What? Why are you whispering? That sounds so creepy.
Super creepy.
I'm under your bed. What is there? Hey, have you heard of infrastructure?
Of what?
Infrastructure?
I have not.
Well, apparently, I guess you don't know your government, Kane. Audio soundbite 5.
I'm proud to announce $1 billion from the bipartisan infrastructure law will be
infrastructure law. You know how sometimes Dean Martin would pretend to be drunk and then he would sing and it would sound super snazzy? It was like he was trying to pull that off in a speech. Joe Biden was, and it didn't work. So he says that he's going to, it's like just some Dr. Evil stuff. $1 billion from the bipartisan infrastructure law. What? Or a Burl Ives singing Holly Jolly Christmas. He just like gave up and went, he's like, Holly Jolly Christmas. It's the bipartisan infrastructure law. What? It's the bipartisan infrastructure law. What? Dude, it's your deal. You cannot tell me this dude has not had a stroke. For real. Come on. So, a couple of things here. Yeah, so, we've been broadcasting in Vegas at SHOT Show. It's our last day here. And we've had some interesting guests on. And you could tell people who work and speak for a living and people who don't. And it's funny because the people who speak for a living, they know what they can say and can't say when there's a microphone in front of them. And the people who don't, who do stuff and they're, involved in other things, they don't care. And poor little Steve, they're in D.C. So we have this thing called a dump button, right? So when we're doing a live broadcast, if somebody says something saucy, which we know you're not supposed to do, but if we have a guest on and they say something a little saucy, one of those words you can't say as per George Carlin on air, then he's got to hit the dump button. And I don't understand how the whole powering up thing works, because apparently you hit it and then it's got to power up again like a death ray.
No, it builds a delay.
Okay.
So there's microseconds right now that's being built into a delay so that whenever he does hit the dump button, it shrinks that time in the middle there from what's real time to delayed time.
This is like time travel.
So that, yeah, exactly, kind of. Digitally.
Well, he about lost 5 years of his life twice this week because we had one guest who was blank, blank, blankety blank, and we're like, you can't do that. Kane's even like, don't be dropping this on the air. Don't be saying this stuff on the air. Like, even before.
Like, we did it before they even went on the air.
Kane smiles and he's like, welcome back. Don't be saying this stuff on the air. Like, it was like he went into full Mr. T. Don't be saying this stuff on the air.
Pitiful.
Yeah, so it's like, they knew. But anyway, we had a couple instances, and I swear I could hear Steve sweat. I could hear him sweat all the way here in Vegas. He's all the way in. Remember, it's like there's a split second we're like, oh man, we heard that. He is perspiring right now. It's like, it's so bad. And he just like lost 5 years off his life. And somehow, miraculously, he dumped it all. Every single time. He did. He dumped all of it. Yeah, what are you talking about? Shush up.
I don't know what I was thinking.
Snitches get stitches. What's the matter with you? So, nobody at Radio America said nothing to him. Like, he didn't, he's a dude, so he didn't get no flowers or nothing like that, or bath bombs or something, he's a dude. Dudes are just different.
He does deserve something.
But we're like, he should get something. He should get, an award, a major award, right? Because, so we got a couple little things here. Let's recognize him.
I think it's important to recognize our associate producer of The Dana Show, Mr. Steve Jones. Not only does Steve have to suffer behind the microphone and monitor every word from every guest make sure that if a curse word is released, he can hit that magical dump button.
Dump button.
And eliminate that word. And some other important words, unfortunately.
Eliminate.
And then get the heart rate back to normal.
Normal.
Most people
do not experience the suffering that our associate producer, Steve Jones, experiences with every guest, and especially the ones that are known to get a little saucy.
Dropping F-bombs.
So today, we recognize our associate producer, Steve Jones, from The Dana Show.
Applause.
Sir,
applause.
Congratulations.
Applause.
Without you,
applause.
We could not deliver such high-quality
applause.
Programming for the ear holes of all
ear holes.
Our listeners.
Applause.
Thank you, Steve Jones.
Fireworks.
And thank you.
Trophies.
Radio America.
Eagles cheering. Steve.
And scene.
That's a radio, whatever the hell they get for that. That got it.
K made a speech and used released and ear holes in the same speech.
Take notes.
And guess what? You're welcome.
And I didn't dump either of them.
You're welcome,
yeah,
dude.
You're welcome.
You're welcome for that. Yeah, you're welcome.
You.
Amazing. Now you can go clip that out and put it up in your cubicle.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
So
I'm just sending Lex a new trophy. Yeah, so
the,
I hope
we're not going to expect to get any curse words from Daryl Issa.
No, I don't think Daryl Issa has joints.
No.
I think he's just one tall, stiff dude, and he comes in, and he walks like a flat Stanley, and he just sits. You know how like Barbie couldn't bend her knees for a long time?
Right.
Like he just sits and his legs stick out
right.
straight.
So I'm not guessing curse
yeah,
words
he's, yeah,
from
he's,
Daryl Issa.
No, not
but
him.
The ATF whistleblower. Now,
I don't know, but he's aware, dude.
I don't know
dude.
This guy. He's aware. I don't know this guy, but he is, you know, he's the whistleblower on the Fast and Furious situation. And
he knows a mic, though.
ATF guys. I know some ATF guys.
Yeah, but they know those mics, and it's like something kicks in, and they're like, I know I can't say these things on this microphone.
They probably know where they're hidden.
Well, I got practice now, so if for any godly reason he feels the need to do it, I'm warm.
Kane's going to Mr. T him when he sits down.
His hands are warmed up.
He's Steve like went in and stretched. He's our own little Michael Cera there in DC. He went in and stretched and got ready to hit that button. Were you just staring at it, dude? Were you just looking at it and going, hurry up, store those seconds.
Yeah.
Store those seconds.
So for the inside baseball folks, I have a screen, a little like widget on this little panel I have that says 30 seconds. And when the first F-bomb dropped, it drops to zero because everybody hears us on a 30-second delay. So
it
when it goes to
the whole 30 seconds,
yeah. So it goes to zero.
The whole 30 seconds.
I don't know. We have engineers, but it starts to build. But it takes about 5 minutes to get those 30 seconds back. So by the time the next one was dropped, I had like 1.3 seconds of time to get back to the dump button quick. So it only has what I had built back up. So within that time, I nailed it each time.
Yeah. Every single time.
So wait, 5 minutes, 30 seconds. It seems slightly unfair.
If it went,
that's the way it is, or else.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to sound really weird.
If it went faster, it would time stretch the audio and you would sound really robotic.
Time stretch. What in the world? This is like some Doctor Who stuff.
It would sound noticeably like you're talking faster and then a little pitchier, a little bit higher.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I just sound like Ben Shapiro. Oh my gosh. Like, hey guys.
It wouldn't sound normal.
So, Ben's a friend, so go and tell him. I don't care. No, it's true. Yeah, we'll tell him. We'll tell Mr. ATF whistleblower. Like, hey. We know you blew the whistle on the ATF and you got all the shady stuff like out in the open, but don't you be dropping no F-bombs on these American radio. Do you think this is Mexican radio? You can't do that stuff here.
The only F-words I want to hear are Fast and Furious.
That's right. Oh!
That's it.
Oh, and the crowd goes wild. The crowd. All right, so we had to acknowledge Steve. I hope that, I hope the folks at Radio America, I hope they come in and give you a pat on the back,
right.
Mike Paradiso.
Something.
Go and give him a pat on a back pat.
I need to appreciate you, buddy.
Back pat. He needs one. He deserves it. All right.
Job security.
So yeah, we're like I said, we're here in Vegas, SHOT Show, and there's all kinds of they had the guy who's Kane, who's Glenn Jacobs. He's the mayor of Knoxville County. He was here yesterday, and then I saw Braun Strowman yesterday. There's the folks who do Cryptech. There was an event. Saw him yesterday. Super nice guys. And everybody, it's a nice event that they have every single year. So we come out. And today's our last day broadcasting here, as you said, as you know. So we've been covering everything. One thing we haven't heard a lot about from anybody is any of the RNC stuff. I don't think people care about RNC drama except nerds like us. And I care about RNC drama because I think there's a bunch of jackwagons about ready to foobar a whole bunch of things up. Got all these broke parties. Now they said that they're leaning towards Trump being the presumptive nominee. And to his credit, Trump came out and was like, we're going to do this the old-fashioned way. And, you know, we're not, I think he just saw that there was, and there are still people. Look, here's one of the things you got to realize, that not everyone is as strategic or as Machiavellian as we might be. Like I said, I love dogs, but if I got to run you over and your family and your dog and your sister and whatever to win in 24, like I will, right? You know, it's going to happen. I'll be coming with my giant steamroller and, you know, I'm not even going to honk as a courtesy. But there are people who, you know, they give them a beat, right? Give them a minute to get over stuff and let things play out and let them come to, you know, it doesn't have to be so damn tribal. I always hate that. It's like, you want to win. You got to go to war with the soldiers you got. You got to inch towards however you want to, you got to try to take ground and not give it up. And so just before you turn people away, because I'm going to tell you, I see folks out there who are like, okay, well, then you can't be on the MAGA train. Oh my gosh, there's no damn train. Stop it. People are voting and you want to win in 24. No one elected you the King Blank of Blank Mountain. There ain't no bouncers. There's none of that stuff. Shush. You're going to need every single one of those people if you want to win in 2024. So y'all be making some friends instead of making some frenemies. Think about it like that. You want to win because you're going to need them. You're going to need them. You're going to need everyone. We don't got no time for that. All right, so I'm going to be following all the latest, too, with the border stuff. I feel like I want to get some razor wire and go down and put it up.
Yep.
Down there. We got some friends down there in our McAllen area.
Yeah.
Exactly, I'm saying. So we got a lot of stuff to get up, including, do you want me to read this here before we go, or do you want me to go? This is the... Yeah, okay, so we got, I have to share this with you because I thought it was funny. You know how you got the AI stuff? I don't like it. I saw that, I stole this from the internet. I didn't write this. AI did. And it's called USA Gun Poem. And the prompt is, write a poem in the style of Dr. Seuss about what would happen if the government of the United States sent its military to fight civilians. Are you ready? Okay, here we go. Uh-huh.
I'm just going to say you should just give them a little bit and then get the rest on Twitter or something.
Okay, now, shooty, shooty, pew, 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 let's all learn what guns can do. Liberals in the USA love to nod their heads and say, you bought your guns from a store. You can't fight a civil war. Fight the army, you will lose. They have jets and tanks to use. That's not where the story ends. They have homes and kids and friends. Tyrants threaten you with bombs. Just remember, they have moms. You can't live inside your jet. Can we find you? Yes, you bet. You'd send soldiers and Marines up against AR-15s. They're outnumbered 10 to 1. That is why I need a gun. Don't forget, because it's true, government is scared of you. It's funny.
It should be.
It's super funny. It's all in good fun. Everybody unclench. All right, we got more on the way. Hillsdale is really a truly academic institution. They were founded in 1844. They're right there in Southern Michigan, small Christian classical liberal arts college in Southern Michigan. And they've been producing these things called the 60-second radio spots called Constitution Minutes. And so they're short, clear lessons on the principles of liberty. Think in the spirit of Schoolhouse Rock. And while you're there, you can go to Dana4FORHillsdale.com to check those out. But while you're there, you can also reserve a free pocket copy of your Constitution, a pocket Constitution, reserve a free copy. Hillsdale is a great institution focused on merit and character, not at all on identity politics. So that's their mission. To hear a Constitution Minute, visit Dana4FORHillsdale.com. And while there, reserve your free copy of your pocket Constitution courtesy of Hillsdale. That's Dana4HillsdaleHillsdale.com.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Political side of the proposed border control situation that Trump is trying to manipulate. The politics of that is you also have Governor Abbott sending thousands of migrants into mostly Democratic cities that black mayors are in charge.
What?
Black mayor.
You flippin' hustler. You wanna hear? I think I've told y'all this story before, so I have Ephesians 6:12-15 tattooed on my arm, and I was sitting on Bill Maher's show one time, because that's Reverend Al Sharpton. I liked him better when he was when Kane said he looked like Grimace from McDonald's. But I remember went on Bill Maher. I don't know if it was the first or second time I was on there. I was on there several times, But went on there and was talking about stuff, and he asked what was on my arm, and I showed him the scripture, and I was like, well, Reverend, if you can you tell me what it is? And he couldn't remember. And I'm like, you're a reverend, though. It's a pretty popular one. You should be able to to guess what it is pretty quick. Come on. Or understand, or be able to recite it real quick. He's very, I don't know. He's a weird dude. He brought in a whole entourage of people, to, and they just swarmed the craft services table. I couldn't even go to get me a slice of meat, dude. I couldn't even go get me a cracker with some cheese, like some grapes or nothing. It was like a ton of people over there. You couldn't even get through. And I brought two people. I brought two people. It was in L.A. That's where he films. I brought two people. I was like, I just want some grapes, man. I just want some grapes. Oh, my gosh. All right. So coming up in our second hour, ladies and gentlemen, we got a lot still on the way. And we're going to talk with Dear Elisa coming up. We're also going to get into all the latest with the drama at the RNC, which I really don't. I just think they all need to get over it. But also the border fight. I don't think the left is going to be able to deflect this. So stick with us, because apparently Florida State Guard's going to Texas. So Biden can't federalize them. He's not sending the National Guard. He's sending the Florida State Guard. That's smart. Stick with us. Our partners for this portion of our program, it's our friends over at Kel-Tec, the Sub-2K. Seems really cool. I don't know. We were at the Kel-Tec booth yesterday and got to see a lot of people's reaction to the Gen 3 that they have. And it's cause I've called it gun origami, and they're like, yeah, that's actually correct. I mean, that's like as close to it as you could get. The cool thing about it is it's 9mm Sub-2K Gen 3. It's shipping now. And you don't have to detach your favorite optics anymore if you're going to fold it in half. The whole thing folds in half. Now, previously, you'd have to take your optics off, all that. Now you don't. It's simple twist and fold motion. It's a patent-pending rotating fore-end. And so either direction it twists, and you can fold it in half. Just as easy as you deploy it, you can quickly, you know, pack it up. It's optics and everything. You can stay. It stays on. It's awesome. And that's just one of the upgrades that they've made to this Gen 3 version of the Sub-2K that's pushed it over the top. They got an upgraded aluminum trigger, redesigned trigger mechanics. So you got a lightened 5-pound trigger pull. The updated trigger also makes for more precise feedback. They have upgraded action. They got a new chamber indicator. And this one ships in Glock 19 configuration, so it also takes magazines from the Glock 17. Just awesome. Made right here in the U.S. of A. Family-owned Florida-based company. To learn more about the Sub-2K Gen 3, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
I'm glad there are Republican governors around the nation that are saying we stand with Greg Abbott in Texas. But okay, now what? Do you really stand with us? Are you sending the National Guard? Are you going to tell President Biden to pound sand that we're not going to follow whatever nonsense he's trying to force upon the people? Because it's not just Texas. The whole country is made weaker for this. So we've got to get serious about this. And my last point is House Republicans have got to stop funding the government that is at war with the people. And Senate Republicans have got to stop trying to cut a deal that has no chance of passage through the House and no chance of actually securing the border.
So that's Congressman Chip Roy out of the great state of Texas, the Republic of Texas, and he's correct. What I mean, okay, you stand with Texas, but what are you going to do? Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, top of the second hour. We have former Congressman Darrell Issa is going to be joining us later on. I will say that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis sent the Florida State Guard. He didn't send any of his National Guard, folks. He sent the Florida State Guard, so Biden can't federalize them.
Yeah.
He can't tell them what to do. That's actually really smart. I like that. That's very good. So that's, I want more of that. But seriously, I mean, I'm getting some Civil War vibes. I am. And to not close the, I just don't, and first off, if you're joining, you can listen around the country. We appreciate that you're pulling up a chair as we broadcast here in Vegas today out of our last day at SHOT Show. And this is one of the things I've heard most about from anybody here in Vegas at the NSSF event. I've heard more about this from anybody. The issue of all of these military aged dudes coming across the border by the hundreds of thousands. That's an absolute national security concern. It is a very pernicious threat. And it's not a humanitarian crisis. I don't believe it's a humanitarian crisis. I think that is an excuse thrown out as a tactic to try to emotionally manipulate people into being quiet or feeling like they are being hard-hearted when they're not. They're pointing out the obvious. It's not a humanitarian crisis. It's people taking advantage of Democrat idiocy and streaming across the border. There are known terrorists who have crossed. You have ever, and it's not just people coming from Central and South America. You have people coming in from Africa. You have people coming in from China. They're everywhere. It is it's an invasion. It is an invasion. There's no other way to describe it. Because what? They're not all in the same uniforms. You're not going to call it an invasion. It's an invasion and it's organized and our government's part of it. Because we have people within the United States government that would love to see the United States broken apart just as our enemies would. I absolutely believe that. I think that some of the entities that are in deep state and some of the entities that are in the government are completely antithetical to the idea of freedom and liberty in these United States. End of. And it's true. It's true. And so this, it's super sad and it's incredibly frustrating. And I wish that it wasn't, I wish that there was more of a will to do something, especially from Democrats, because all they seem to want to do is just, you know, the only person, golly, I can't even believe I'm saying this. John Fetterman and Joe Manchin are the only ones who are actually really sane. Everyone else is just kind of quieter. They say, oh, it's bad. The president should do something. The president isn't doing anything. We're going to talk to Daryl Issa about this more. But I mean, man, I'm telling you, it's infuriating. Did you guys see the story? Let me pull this up. Yet last night it was the first execution using this noxious gas, nitrogen, that took place in Alabama. Last night it was the first person in history to be gassed by nitrogen. This guy had been on death row since 1996. And they said that he was convicted in 1988 for a murder for hire. And he was paid just $1,000 to kill Elizabeth Sennett. And it was a murder for hire thing. She was the wife of a preacher. He ordered the hit. So her husband was having an affair and wanted her out of the way and wanted her insurance money as well. And so hired a guy who recruited this Smith guy and stabbed her to death. She was stabbed 8 times in her chest and torso, and then twice on either side of the neck. I mean, just brutally murdered. And so he was sent to death row, right? I woke up and I was reading these headlines because I read it, you know, the other night, like, oh, this guy's going to be gassed. And they had tried in 2022, but they couldn't find a vein. He was sentenced to death by lethal injection. And then the time ran out for the death warrant. It expired before they could find a vein. And so he got like a whole other, a year, 2 years to live. The Supreme Court rejected his appeal. So he was put to death with this nitrogen. And it's the world's first nitrogen, you know, gassing with nitrogen. I guess like a suffocation. I don't know. But the way that the press has been writing about this is just ghastly, as you can imagine. I get that some people out there are against capital punishment. I'm not one of them, and I have zero interest. I'm not going to be persuaded, and I have zero interest in being annoyed by anyone who wants to persuade me. I'm going to be very, 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 very forthright about that. Some people are too evil, and their crimes are too heinous for them to continue living on Earth. If that's a deal breaker for you, too bad. But that's how I look at it. And I do not think that pro-life and death sentence are in any way incompatible, because you cannot sit here and equate an innocent baby with that of an adult who willfully chooses to commit something so heinous that they know the punishment for that is death. That being said, this guy brutally murdered this mother, right? And so I was reading this. I actually don't care how they're put to death. If you're so evil, and your crime is so bad. And look, you can still forgive people, but the bills do. The bills do. This guy paid his bill last night. But the way the press put it, it looked like a snooba. Have you ever heard of the snooba mask? It's like a clear plastic mask that they put on your face. And it fits to your face. It's like space looking. It's like a snooba mask. They put it on his face and they were gassing him. Well, apparently it took him 22 minutes to die. And oh my gosh, the way that they're writing about it, they're like, the curtain's open. The death warrant was read. This guy had a preacher as his spiritual advisor. And my first red flag about this guy was that the preacher was called a spiritual advisor. And he looked like a Rasputin. I'm not kidding you. He looks like Rasputin. I was looking at this. I'm like, seriously, spiritual advisor? Shut the front door. Seriously. Don't worry, Steve. So they were like, oh, that was so mean. The guy was, you know, he was convulsing and all of this stuff. And oh, my gosh. And his wife was sobbing. And, you know, it was so, you know, it was going to, so like everyone was mean. Like they were trying to, they went right up to the line of saying the victim's family was mean because they wanted this guy. I mean, it was this is the verdict that the system delivered. This guy was absolutely guilty. There was irrefutable proof that this guy murdered brutally this family's mother. And they're like, what about mercy for this guy? What mercy for the woman that he stabbed to death? What about mercy for the woman that he murdered? Any of those people out there screaming for mercy, if they stop 1 second to ask for that? All these jackwagons that get out there and scream for mercy about these evil, brutal murderers. You lot of lunchboxes, what are you talking about? Where's the mercy that these people ever demonstrated towards their victims? None. And so the way they were talking about how the guy died, oh my gosh, it's so bad. It's just, you know, oh. And they said that he was, you know, crying, and they said one of the problems that, you know, it went off as planned. There wasn't a problem, but he did hold his breath until the very end. He was holding his breath and they told him not to do that, but you know, he did anyway. So, you know, that's a bummer for you. You chose to do that. You chose, again, right in your last moments, to not listen to instruction. That's, you know. But they said, oh, he was convulsing and the wife was sobbing. And it's this one guy who sounds like an absolute pansy said it was the most violent execution he's ever witnessed. Are you serious? The guy had a snuba mask on and he was herking and jerking a little bit in his cot. Come on. Guy's a violent, brutal murderer. You want to know the most violent execution you didn't see? It was a woman he stabbed to death, you blockhead. Can you imagine saying that? Can you imagine being the absolute son of a bitch that gets up there? And I'm not apologizing for my Portuguese. That guy is an SOB. This absolute moron gets up there and says, oh, it's the most violent execution I've ever witnessed. Well, count your blessings because you didn't get to witness the violent execution of the woman he stabbed to death. You unfeeling, unchristian, godless. Ugh. I hate these people. These people are the ones who allow this criminality to perpetuate. They gloss over the stabbed and raped women and the brutalized children and all of the dead bodies in their wake so they can sit here and pretend to be virtuous and all forgiving and merciful at the moment of execution when the guy's already strapped down. Bet you wouldn't have him babysit your kid, though, would you? Bet you wouldn't leave him alone in the room with your wife, would you? Sit here screaming to everybody else about mercy. I think they couldn't find the vein. They put him out through gas. So then everybody's sitting here screaming at Alabama. Oh my gosh, you ignorant Alabamans. You horrible Alabama people. You allowed this to happen. Your governor's evil. Your attorney general's evil. All the people in the jury that convicted this man, y'all just see some of the stuff I'm reading. They act like Alabama's, I mean, the comments on these pieces and the attitude of the journalists writing about it, they're like, well, it's no surprising that this comes out of, you know, this comes out of this state. Are you kidding me? What is wrong with these people? It's no surprise that Alabama did this. Really? It's not surprising to you that Alabama took a horrible predator of women off the streets, as was the justice that he owed? Really? You people who allow needles and feces to accumulate in your streets, you people who allow your women to be brutalized and your children to be molested and your everything else. I mean, seriously, what's the matter with you? He deserved it, and he went out. He paid his bill. There you go. It's all done. I sound harsh, but it's not harsh. This is justice. What's harsh is what he did to his victim. That's harsh. There are going to be people out there who think, oh, Dana, you're so mean. If you think that that's mean and you have not a syllable for what he did to this person, you're part of the problem. Now, I actually didn't know we'd never killed anybody with noxious gas before. I didn't know that, with nitrogen. Interesting. It's also the same people that are like, oh, it's a humanitarian crisis at the border. It's so bad. It's a humanitarian crisis. One of the other stories I was looking at here, Yeah, they said it's no longer a tested method. I saw this on Babylon Bee and I actually thought it was a real story. Airlines offering $100 upgrade where you're guaranteed an old male pilot named Steve.
Sign me up.
Yeah, where can I get that? Like, can you do that now? That would be amazing. I mean, that was right next to this headline, because have you seen, I'm gonna say something that's probably going to be, have you seen pictures of the dudes who have surrogates that deliver babies, and then the one of the dudes in the dude relationship holds the baby to his chest shirtless like he just gave birth? Have you seen those photos? I don't understand that. You didn't give birth. Why are you doing that? I saw that headline because it said, well, crap, thinks newborn baby placed on gay man's boobless chest. Anyway, so this story, if I could pay, I would pay to upgrade. Can I get an old grizzled pilot with all the DEI coming out?
Keep me in row 18. I just want to upgrade the pilot.
I don't care if I'm like sitting here with no leg room in that, you know, and I'm sitting here next to a person who can't fit in one seat, but they think that they shouldn't be charged for two. You know, that's okay. I don't care if I'm in that seat, but can I just have an old grizzled pilot? I'll pay the upcharge. I don't mind.
I'll also pay an upcharge for all the bolts on my wing.
Yeah. I don't want to be looking out and be like, we've got to screw the wing in. Got to screw that in. A little nervous about this.
25,
30 exactly. Exactly.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So terror in Maryland as a woman driver went on a rampage, hitting five random people with her car and stabbing three others in 90 minutes of pure carnage. And then cops said that the panic was similar to the hunt for the D.C. sniper back in 2002. A lot of it was caught on video, this whole thing. A 90-minute ordeal unfolded 10 minutes from Washington, D.C. Thursday evening. Her identity has not been revealed. She was arrested later that night. The local chief said, yeah, it felt a lot like that D.C. sniper thing in 2002. She's driving around hitting everybody, stabbing everybody. It started when a pedestrian was hit by a car in the town of Capitol Heights, 10 miles from D.C. That woman suffered minor injuries. And then a man and a 15-year-old were hit by a car. Just kept going on and on and on. So they did end up taking her into custody. So oh, my gosh. Give me 5 seconds. I need 5 seconds in a locked room with her. That's all I need. Pennsylvania woman charged with torturing and killing animals for a YouTube audience. 28-year-old Anjar Monsi. She killed frogs, rabbit, a pigeon, and a chicken. She looks like a man. She sounds like, I don't know, like a cult person. She sounds like it's cultish. But she was torturing the animals, things like that, on YouTube for a YouTube audience. So throw her away. Or torture her. I'm fine. Let's see. This is crazy. California homeless people are found to be living inside caves 20 feet below street level, complete with home furnishings. Isn't that amazing? Bankruptcy surging amongst Gen X and millennials. Up next, Daryl Issa, former congressman out of California, joins us. He's going to talk border, too. Stick with us.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this second hour, and you can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. We have the simulcast back on Monday that you can catch Channel 347 DirecTV as well. We're broadcasting live from Las Vegas at SHOT Show 2024. And joining us now, I've never met him in person, but I've always appreciated his fight, Congressman Daryl Issa from the beautiful state of California. He's one of the ones we like out there on the West Coast.
That's one of the things that's great. I feel like I know what it was like at the Alamo. There's 52 members of Congress and five congressional districts that Trump carried.
Yeah, there you
so,
go.
So it is good. You know, I have colleagues like Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell, so that I never have to doubt who the enemy is. Mm-hmm.
And you were just telling me, because they serve on the Judiciary Committee with you. So, you do have to get along, even though they can be very just crazily incorrect on many, many things.
President Reagan once said, liberals aren't stupid. They just know things that don't happen to be true. But, when it comes to maybe intellectual property rights and copyrights and patents, you can work with some of these people. But when it comes to the Second Amendment, they're just hostile.
Yes.
And they'll continue to say things that simply aren't true. Yeah. And they know they're not true. But they figure if they keep saying them long enough, somebody will fall for it. And that's what's been happening as California has had an all-out assault on the Second Amendment. As a matter of fact, the assault weapons ban, we'd like to ban their assault on weapons.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. You and I were talking, we're going to get in a whole host of issues, particularly also the border as well, since that's heating up. But the Second Amendment, too, some of the protections that are needed for this, because we have three different cases that we'll get into it more as we get closer, going up before that SCOTUS is reviewing this year, another one potentially next year. We have the stuff going on with Gary, Indiana, the Lake City ammo. I mean, there's a lot, not to mention just everything that is happening in your state. There's also the issue that, and I thought you made a great point, and I wanted to bring this up again on air for our audience. For instance, with ATF rulemaking and the inconsistency state by state and how just arduous it is for people who just want to be good, upstanding American citizens. They want to shoot. They want to hunt. They want to be able to have an ability to defend themselves. But it seems like it's becoming increasingly, you know, made more and more impossible by the federal government with some of these, particularly the ATF, whether it's the pistol brace for disabled veterans. You know, I don't think pistol braces really help all that much. I mean, they look cool, but I really don't think they do much anything. But still, you know, using that as an example, when you have something that's been legal for a decade, and you have three different instances of the ATF telling people this is totally fine to have, they've defended their position on it previously, then they do a 180 when you get someone else new in the White House, and then this very short commentary, this review period, businesses have to hurry up and acclimate, and some change their entire structure in order to accommodate. And you were talking about the difficulty in dealing with that, and also how the ATF needs to be stopped.
Well, ATF is one of many agencies, but it's one that affects so much in that they have, as you said, they'll say one thing's fine, and then a new boss comes in this case, President Biden, and they'll do a 180. That is in violation of the Constitution. Constitution says the power to make laws, to legislate, belongs to the House and the Senate with the signature of the president, or overturning a president if we want. That is being circumvented by rulemaking. One of the things that when we get a new Trump administration here next year, we have to do is we have to end once and for all the idea that of course, rulemaking's important. If there's a new law passed and the implementation is done by the agencies, we expect them to do appropriate interpretation. But once interpreted, they cannot do a second interpretation without coming back to Congress, without the lawmaking that gives legitimacy to rulemaking. We believe that the court should rule on that. We are seeing some work. As you know, the Chevron review is coming up. The court, what SCOTUS does on that will be critical, because if Chevron, the deference to interpretation, is cut back, then the deference to constantly changing interpretation to suit whatever your boss wants will be cut back. But if the court doesn't act, Congress needs to act to limit this administration and future administrations from arbitrarily taking away people's rights, even after for years they gave a clear indication that it was legal.
Yeah. Talking with Congressman Daryl Issa out of California, what can be done to protect individuals who, you know, they go to a gun store, you know, they want to get a shotgun, you know, whatever they want to purchase, and they don't want those purchases that, you know, they're making on that credit card or whatever marked with a merchant code and kind of used as a quasi backdoor registry of sorts. What can be done in the House to protect these citizens and stop this?
Well, this is where Chairman Jim Jordan and other members are very concerned and are absolutely trying to limit the ability to do it. FISA reform is a big part of it, because right now, what your government's doing is they're scraping large amounts of data and then using it. And an example is, without a warrant, January 6th, if you were in Washington and you used your credit card, they scraped all of the data from all the credit card companies and then worked backwards, in many cases intimidating people who weren't there for the Trump rally, who didn't go to it. They just happened to be in Washington. This violation of your Fourth Amendment and other rights is absolutely got to be protected. But again, I don't have an expectation that it'll be protected under this administration. Mm. This was the administration that violated those rights. So a combination of a new president after November and then laws that that president will sign. So, you know, I'm going to make a pitch. If you're listening to this show and you care about your rights and your republic continuing to survive, you need to get involved in the political cycle at the House level, the Senate level, and obviously at the presidential level in a way that you never have before, because you don't just need to get out and vote. You need to help your neighbors understand what's at stake, and you need to get them involved.
I'm worried about the House. Talking with Congressman Daryl Issa, I'm worried about the House because I feel just looking at a lot of the polling, looking at a lot of the competitive districts. I mean, it's going to be a fight to maintain that majority.
It is going to be a fight. And the loss of Speaker McCarthy has, in fact, hurt us. You know, I was one of those people that knew it was a mistake and pushed back and talked to my colleagues.
It was a silly time to have it.
It was a silly time.
And I don't dislike, you know, Representative Johnson, but I mean, if you're going to take a stand and say you're going to have a big conservative fighter, then have somebody with a big conservative record. It didn't make sense.
Well, and look, Mike Johnson has had to do exactly what Kevin McCarthy did. The only difference is people realize that they made a mistake throwing out the first guy. They're not going to throw out the second guy. But, you know, Mike, I've served with him. He's a Freedom Caucus member. He's a member of Judiciary Committee. And he's had to do exactly what Kevin did. And that's one of the reasons that there's a problem. Now, fortunately, today, by the way, for all of your listeners, you should find Kevin McCarthy's website. It's his birthday.
Oh, is it? He's 29 today.
He's 29 again. But he also has about $29 million in the bank. He is continuing to fight for Republicans. He may have left the speakership and left Congress, but he has not left. He's out there raising money to help win elections. So, yes, I'm concerned about not only maintaining but growing a Republican majority, but I believe we're going to do it because we are united. We're going to have to show a lot more of that between now and November on the House floor. Next week, when we bring out of committee the impeachment of Mayorkas, it should be properly written this time and stand the scrutiny of what it takes to impeach somebody for violations, impeachable violations of the Constitution. We look forward to having that vote. But, you know, we've got to communicate that. We've got to communicate, well, look, we're not impeaching Mayorkas because we think it's his policy. We're impeaching him because he's executing on wrongful policies of a president who is denying and claiming the border is secure when, in fact, it's wide open. Right. Although, in fairness, the president now says it's been open for 10 years, which, by the way, he was vice president 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But we are dealing with that. We're dealing with this absurdity of millions of people coming in.
290,000 plus just in December alone.
Well, of course, the getaways are always
even more than
because
that.
Because that's just an estimate. And it's one of the areas we're most concerned about. You know, I was just in Israel. I saw the death camps that occurred there because 1 mile from the border, they came running through an opening, a tunnel in the border, and killed over 1,000 innocent Israeli civilians sleeping. This can happen here, except they don't have to come over the border. They're already here.
Known terrorists just last week.
Known terrorists. And when we look at the number of people caught on the terrorist watch list, remember, it's not the ones you catch to worry about. It's the ones we didn't catch.
Exactly. Talking with Congressman Daryl Issa. I wanted to ask you, Congressman, too, speaking of the border, Greg Abbott says he's holding the line. I know there's a 24-hour deadline, I think, that expires today about removing a lot of that razor wire coming from the federal government. A number, 23 to 25 states, I think, different governors have said they're standing with Texas. Florida's sending Florida State Guard. I know other states are sending their guard as well. How does this end up? Because this is, it kind of reminds me of the fight that Obama Biden had with Jane Brewer out of Arizona. They did not make that easy for her. And really, ultimately, because of that, nothing was done. This is so bad. And it's all, I mean, I don't think that these are all young military age males. Very few are women and children. I don't think invasion is the wrong word to use for it. There's no way that this is sustainable. How long does this go and how does this end? Because it's increasing. And I mean, it feels like we're having a face off with the feds at the border.
We are having a face-off with the feds at the border. And in the case of my 55 miles of the border that I have in my district, we don't have a governor that's willing to fight the way Governor Abbott is. I sent a letter to the president, literally going out today, asking him, since he says that he needs help at the border, since he said the border is open, since he said he's going to do things, asking him not to cut the wire, asking him to respect the fact that even if it doesn't belong to the state, the federal government should use these tools that were put down at somebody else's expense and not tear them up. Stop cutting the wire is what the letter says. I don't have an expectation of this president to do it, but I want to call him out for, first he says it's secure, then he says it isn't secure. What is he doing to at least allow those who have helped make it more secure to do their job? And the answer is he isn't. There's a reason the Border Patrol union in from rank and file all the way up to the top have been supporting people on the other side of their own president because he doesn't have their backs. As a matter of fact, he has stabbed him in the back. You know, when we're asked, well, give more money to the border, we cannot continue giving more money to help facilitate more people coming through. Border Patrol is supposed to stop people from coming, not facilitate their coming when we don't know who they are, they weren't invited, and they are more than 95% of the time lying about their status at when they say, oh, I have a credible fear from, and you fill in 140 different countries that they come from.
How does I when other states say they stand with Texas or when the federal government says this has to stop, here's our deadline. I mean, what are they going to do to enforce that? Where does this go? I mean, how far does this go?
Well, in the case of the governor, I want him to stand his ground and I want him to stand his ground as long as he can. You understand that this president, when ordered that to be wrong on his reversal of ending all of the Trump era protections, delayed and eventually ran out the clock. So, you know, this president has not respected the Supreme Court cases, and I don't believe Governor Abbott should respect what I think was constitutionally 5-4, the court has spoken. But the way they decided it was narrow. They didn't decide whether or not Governor Abbott had the right to protect its citizens from trespassing. Right. They didn't decide whether he had the ability to do policing actions. They only decided that he could not, in fact, do border security. Almost every piece of Constantina wire is sitting on private land. It's sitting on land where people who are entering there are trespassing. And so I want to encourage the governor and every state that has this, treat these criminals as criminals. If they're coming in illegally and we don't have the right to stop them as illegals, we still have the right to look for everything, including trespassing, and hold them accountable. And once incarcerated, quite frankly, they need to be deported for the crimes they committed. And whether those crimes are DUIs, trafficking in drugs, whatever it happens to be, you need to enforce the law as strictly as you can because this administration won't do it.
There you go. Congressman Daryl Issa, appreciate your fight in D.C. Thanks so much for it. Thanks so much for coming to SHOT Show. It's your first SHOT Show. It's good to see you.
Absolutely. And I left you with a little bit of some of the legislation we're working on. And I just keep it. You're going to see a lot of it, and
I'd love to have you back to talk about this, especially the Modern Firearms Safety Act, because this is we're running short on time right now. But this is, you have the Protect Act, the Modern Firearms Safety Act. There's a lot of stuff here. We definitely will talk.
Please have me back.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. Well, we're getting Florida Man up here. Sometimes the Wi-Fi can be pretty sketchy here in. Hearing this. All right. So first up, got a couple of things here. First up for Florida Man. This, I don't understand the whole issue of stealing used cooking oil. Like, how is that a thing? But it, apparently it is. This is coming Channel 25. I want to make sure I got it right. A Miami man was arrested Tuesday of this week. He was accused of trying to steal used cooking oil from restaurants. I did not know, and the chief deputy said at the time, that it is a $5 billion business to recycle used cooking oil.
Yeah, it is now.
Wait, why is it? Okay, what?
Because it's a biodiesel fuel. People can turn this used cooking oil into like a diesel fuel.
Interesting. And so the recycling of that is like that much.
Sure that there's other, you know,
okay,
products.
Second question, why are we not in this business?
Yeah, no kidding.
Like, for real, I'm just saying.
I could come up with a bunch of used cooking oil. I just don't know what to do with it after that.
Yeah, but I didn't know, like, people would steal. Like, wouldn't most people just, like, give it away? Or no? I guess not.
Back in the day, they did, yeah.
So they said that their restaurants they sell it to recycling companies, and then they turn the oil into fuel. But they said that it can go, check this out, for 65 cents a pound on the black market. $0.65 a pound on the black market. So this dude, he stopped at 20 restaurants on the federal highway in Stewart, and he had tons of stuff. This woman, Florida woman, was so drunk in the school pickup line in Pinellas County, she fell asleep. She passed out behind the wheel of her car while she was picking up kids in the school pickup line. A Largo woman. She's facing charges of drunk driving and child neglect. They found her asleep. And she smelled a hooch. Smelled like liquor. Oh, my gosh. So they said, yeah, that she was taken into custody. That's scary. I am not reading this story. I am not reading this one. I'm just going to say, quick headline, Florida man accused in fatal triple shooting after trying to date his own daughter. That's all I'm saying. Oh, my gosh. We have our third hour on the way. Stick with us.
Donald Trump does not want that to be the case. And so now he has come in and is basically trying to kill the deal, telling Republicans to oppose it. And the absolutely feckless Mitch McConnell is going to go along with it. He acknowledged to his caucus yesterday in a private meeting on the Hill. Why is Trump telling his party members to sink an immigration bill that basically gives them everything they want?
Why is Joe Biden trying to suspend LNG from Texas while forcing other countries who were supposed to be independent of dirty Russian gas to go back to dirty Russian gas? You absolute duck face butthat. Why?
It's Friday.
It's Friday. La, 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 la. Welcome to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this third hour. Everyone gets a free kick in the neck today. Free kicks in the neck. You know what? That's what I'm going to do next year. A SHOT Show. Be like, you know what? Come to, when I do booth visits, you get a free kick in the neck. You want a kick in the neck? Come say something stupid. You get a free kick in the neck. Free.
You better charge for that stuff. It's capitalism.
You know, it's just doing my part to spread joy, you know, and happiness. That's all I'm saying. Welcome back to the show. We're here in Vegas. We always get a little rowdy when we want to go home. Although we like it here, everybody's very hospitable. It's very nice. The food's really good. I ate accidentally like a whole baguette yesterday. It was an accident. It was like as big as a giant man's arm. And they put it on the table, and you're supposed to have it with like some butter and jelly. And I'm like, I'm just gonna have a little pinch. Nope, I didn't. Anyway, welcome back. So it's good to be here with you. Yeah, that's the whole thing. I don't know if you saw. President Hat Backward Daddy Showers put out a statement where he's pausing pending approvals of LNG, liquefied natural gas exports. He's blah, 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 blah. Burp, burp. I just don't even care about the first two paragraphs of this. Oh, then we get to, but more action is needed. He didn't write this. He didn't write this because he doesn't know what a pencil is anymore. He says there's a temporary pause on pending decisions of liquefied natural gas exports, with the exception of unanticipated and immediate national security emergencies. We're going to take a look at the impacts of LNG exports on energy costs, America's energy security, and our environment, blah, blah, blah. Durka, durka, durka. And then he goes, while MAGA Republicans will shut up, willfully deny the air. I'm just not. Do I have to read this sentence like this comes from a sentient person?
It's news.
It's stupid. It's neck kicky. While MAGA Republicans willfully deny the urgency of the climate crisis, you know why? Because it's not. It's a made up thing that like old hippie bad boomers like you like to scare people with. MAGA Republicans willfully deny the urgency of the climate crisis, condemning the American people to a dangerous future, blah, 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 blah. I don't care. He's doing this to hit Texas. You know this. That's exactly what this is. Kane said it earlier. Because why? The top five natural gas producing states and their percentages of total production in 2022, Texas was 25%. Coming in second place, Pennsylvania, which, by the way, that's going to work real good in an election cycle, you jackwagons. Great job, Democrats. High five, you morons. Great job. Dana, you seem mean today. You're not supposed to sound like the old dudes that are on the radio. I'm not, but this is stupid, and it should be called such. They're halting the approval of any new licenses to export LNG. That's going to really be detrimental to billions of dollars in projects. Now, the top five states, Texas is 25%, Pennsylvania is 22%, Louisiana is almost at 10%, West Virginia is at 7%, Oklahoma is about sitting at 6.7%. We are the largest producer of LNG in the world, and Texas is top for that. This is a decision that's going to hurt, but and he's doing this for border stuff. This is all related. They're doing this to kind of jerk around Texans because of the stuff happening at the border. But, you know, goofball Biden, Pennsylvania is number two. Pennsylvania, a state that's been hit, you know, with issues over steel prices, exports, imports, you know, everything. And you're going to do this to Pennsylvania? And you're going to force all these countries that have been weaned off of dirty Russian gas, who have become reliant on LNG? What are they supposed to do? You sit here and you complain about Russia with Ukraine, but you're going to sit here and force them to actually have to turn to Russia for gas? It's absolutely moronic. He did this right when this issue with the border heated up. Guess where the most LNG terminals are, by the way? If you had to guess where they are. Well, let's see. Right there, all in Texas. You got Port Arthur, you got Corpus Christi, you got Golden Pass, you got Driftwood, you got Sabine Pass, you got Freeport, you got all that. Tons of places right there. Operational ones, you got, I think Cameron might be in Louisiana, but Sabine Pass is in Texas, Corpus Christi, and Freeport are all in Texas. You have two that are under construction. So this is just asinine. This is just a hit at Texas. That's all this is. This is them being goofy and trying to do this to Texas over the border issue. That is exactly what this is. And so it's an opportunistic political maneuver, and it is an absolutely detrimental blow to our allies in Europe. This is the LNG that we were producing was absolutely instrumental in replacing Russian natural gas. Even if it's a temporary ban, you know what this signals? It tells all of our European allies that we are not dependable. That their supply of energy during the winter is going to hinge on whether or not the president is mad because a governor of a border state wants to make sure the southern border is protected. It shows that the president of the United States is willing to use Europe and our allies in Europe, their energy security as a bargaining chip in a phallus measuring contest over a border state governor that dealing with a border issues that the federal government should not be obstructing in the first place. This is the stupidest administration that we have ever been cursed with. Absolutely asinine. How can anyone sit here and go and vote for this crusty zombie at the ballot box? He's like a SpongeBob character. How can anyone sit here and go and vote for him? What a joke. Oh, I can't wait until they sit here and go, we need more money for Ukraine. You should have thought about that before you did what you did to all of our allies, our European allies over there. You should have done that first. Just asinine, absolutely asinine. So, I don't know. This is what we're looking at. So, this is the... So, what are we... What about all the private investors? How do you have the Department of Energy... This is capricious. How do you have the Department of Energy that's able to be just, like, politically weaponized like this? To do this? I mean, they should not be able to have the authority to do something like this. Yes, Kane?
Exactly what I was about to say.
Yeah.
This is an example of why we don't want big government. This is it.
They should not have the authority to play political favoritism.
Right.
And that's exactly what this is. It's good grief. Think about it. Think about companies that are engaged in semiconductor, all of those new projects that are coming along. Do you think that they're going to feel nervous when they see stuff like this being weaponized for political favoritism? I mean, this is a joke. And this is all because he's mad over Texas. He's mad over Texas. That's what this is about. It is asinine. What a shameful. He's a shameful president. Absolutely shameful. But we'll, where do you go after this? Where does one go? I don't see how this de-escalates, but where do we go from here? Hey, the deadline for what? Removing the razor wire is supposed to expire today. It's not going to happen. What are you going to come and take it? You going to try? Yeah, you can't do that. What are you going to do? I mean, I think we're at the point where we call bluffs. I have no problem with it. Let's call bluffs. I'll pitch in. Where you need me? Call bluffs. This is just asinine. At some point, you've got to stop it. At some point, you know, it's got to give. I mean, what we're seeing at the border, I mean, you heard me talking to Congressman Darrell Issa. I mean, my gosh, we weren't even getting into the gotaways. I think in that 290,000, does that include the known gotaways? Or is that was like another 90,000, wasn't it? So it's actually over 300,000. Because they didn't include the known gotaways in that. And those are numbers from CBP. Whew. I'm telling you what, it's a national security crisis, and now our administration is weaponizing it further and causing it to expand and become a national security crisis for our European allies. Now, that's just inexcusable. Just remember, what you do in November has consequences. It has consequences. Speaking of that, got another couple. Got still some things. This is audio soundbite 20. Liz Cheney is defending Nikki Haley's staying in the primary. Listen to this.
Yeah, look, I mean, I hope she stays in the race, you know, as long as she has to. I think certainly, you know, through Super Tuesday, I think that we're in a situation where only two states have voted. And you had something like, you know, over 35%, I believe, of the Republicans coming out of the voting in New Hampshire said they would never vote for Donald Trump. And so we're obviously, you know, looking at a significant portion of the Republican Party.
Oh my gosh, I'm already bored.
That is supporting him. But
I'm already bored
ultimately, this is going
to
be about being able to win independents and in a general election. Surely Nikki Haley fares much better than Donald Trump does.
Not without the base of voters. And there's going to be some people who will not vote for her. Bottom line, there's just going to be some people who are not going to vote for her. And yes, the Trump camp has a major problem with independent voters. We've said this. But at some point, Nikki Haley's got to say she's got a problem with delegates. She's having a hard time getting delegates. This is a delegate race. Nobody else. At this point, it's all about delegates. It's all about that until after Super Tuesday. No way she stays in this until Super Tuesday. She's being floated by a lot of these old money Bush guys. That's a real thing. We got more on the way. We got headlines coming up.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so first up, the average American has $65,100 in their savings account. Yeah, I'm calling shenanigans.
That's the average Gens. American? That's a lie. A dang lie.
Nobody believes this. It comes from finance. I'm not even going to deep dive into it because no. So apparently the Amazon Ring, they're not going to share their videos anymore. Give the cops all the Ring videos they want policy. That was the... Yeah, that was kind of it. Yeah, you're right. I didn't even know that they like just were... pretty much like, yeah, whatever you guys need, we're here. Yeah. But they did. I mean, I thought you just like, here's a warrant, you know, but no, that's really not how it worked. But they said that they're going to stop that so that people feel a little bit better about the privacy and safety and all that kind of stuff. I mean, the only thing that mine would see that my doorbell camera, all our cameras around, is like me yelling at squirrels or trying to talk to wildlife or something like that. You know, trying to chase the geese that come and land in my yard. Just, you know, that's pretty much all I would get. You know, trying to catch them and be like, what if I build you a pond? As they run after them and they run away. I am the only person that would scare geese. You know how you scare geese? You know how you hear like oh, don't make that goose mad. It'll come get you. No, no, no. The geese are like, that woman's nuts. Run. That sounded like a duck, though, didn't it? A little bit. Okay. South Korea warns against the social media trend of eating fried toothpicks.
Fried what?
Toothpicks.
Okay.
They look like vegetable straws. So you know what? You just eat the vegetable straw. Don't eat a toothpick that's been fried. Literally just... Yeah, just... That's nasty. And ow.
Are things that bad economically? You're eating fried toothpicks now?
I don't know. I don't know what that... No. I like this headline. Because it just seems like there's more to meet than meets the eye here. A man is dead after an experiment with explosives in Garvin County. Yeah, like, you know, when you experiment with explosives, you know, it can go wrong. They said there was an explosion that happened Wednesday in a home near Leeton, according to Channel 16 ABC in Pennsylvania. It was an apparent explosion. He was experimenting with explosives, and it caused an accidental blast and killed him. Oh, and he lived alone with his dog. Oh, I hope his dog's okay and someone nice has it. That's so sad. Yeah, don't. Why would you do that? Don't do that. A Hampton's mansion. Kana, Hampton's mansion, once listed for $150 million, only sells for $90
million. How will they ever make it?
How will they live? Oh, my gosh. Is it Barack Obama's Hampton mansion? You know, the one that he bought after he was telling everybody that the sea levels were going to, like, rise and, you know, all that stuff? I'm just, you know, curious. But anyway, yeah, so I don't really care. That's problems that I don't have. All right, so coming up, we got a lot more to get into. We got the border stuff. We're here broadcasting. It's our last day broadcasting from Las Vegas at SHOT Show here with NSSF. And we're keeping our eye on all the border stuff because you have not media outlets are not giving this the attention that it deserves. It's a super serious issue. It's only going to escalate. There's a deadline today for that razor wire to be removed. What is the administration going to do next? We don't know. Stick with us.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than the Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our message is working. Our values are American. They're universal values. Our policies, Republicans begrudgingly celebrate and accept. I heard the governor here in his State of the State last night, and he talked about these new EV investments in his state. Really, Mr. Governor, that tried to oppose that and is sitting there with Trump? They can't even help themselves. But they're beneficiaries of all this because that's the character and decency of the Democratic Party, that we support people even if they didn't support us in the election.
And that doesn't even make any sense. That's so goofy. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this third hour, that's California Governor Gavin Newsom. And he's, you know what, he says, you know, their message of open borders and all of that, it just speaks to the character and the decency of the Democrat Party, if that's what you know, want to believe. I don't know what that means. This whole thing, I'm watching this ramp up on social media as well, because Governor, I'm going to pull this up, because Governor Abbott tweeted out more stuff. And yeah, he tweeted out some more. And then you had the Border Patrol Union. This was Abbott was tweeting about, let me pull this up, because as you know, we talked a little bit about this earlier this hour. Biden had suspended LNG licenses, etc. He said, you know, they're reviewing for a bunch of other stupid stuff. It's just asinine, and it's just to penalize Texas. And so he had said, Abbott in his statement, Biden's decision to freeze LNG exports threatens Texas and America. He said it's, you know, it's a gut punch to, you know, people in the industry, and also mentioned that it's going to hurt our allies as well. Then you had this from Border Patrol Union. It's the National Border Patrol Council, Border Patrol Union. They said, quote, rank and file Border Patrol agents are not going to start arresting Texas National Guard members for following their lawful orders. It's fake news. Texas National Guard and rank and file Border Patrol agents work together and respect each other's jobs, period. If Texas National Guard members have lawful orders, they have to carry out those orders. Texas Guard members realize that rank and file Border Patrol agents have their orders as well. Lawful orders, no matter how unpopular or distasteful amongst rank and file agents, must be followed. Unlawful orders, as determined by competent legal counsel and not what some outhouse lawyer behind a keyboard says, will not be followed. Rank and file Border Patrol agents appreciate and respect what Texas has been doing to defend their state in the midst of this catastrophe that the Biden administration has unleashed on America. We want to be perfectly clear. There's no fight between rank and file agents and the National Guard, Abbott, or DPS. It may make flashy headlines, but it simply isn't true. And that's a good point. Good point. And that kind of dispels, that just sort of takes, you know, Stand With Texas is trending on social media. And this, you have governors that are going to go out, visit in Austin to see what they can do to help. They're sending their state guards. And it's interesting what they're sending, because they don't want to send National Guard because they, you know, they don't want Biden to federalize it. And now you have Alaska and Nevada, Utah, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Iowa, Missouri, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Louisiana. Let's see, we have Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, South Carolina, Florida. You also have Indiana, you got Pennsylvania, Virginia, you got all Kentucky, Tennessee. All of these states are standing with Texas. The governors that have shown up, all these governors, whether it's Landry out in Louisiana, you got Brad Little out in Idaho, Kemp in Georgia, DeSantis in Florida, Justice out in West Virginia, Youngkin in Virginia, I got Billy in Tennessee, Bergrum even in North Dakota, the governor, you got Kevin Stitt. They're all standing. They said that they're supporting Texas with us, and they're going to help however they can. So it is, it's increasing. And then, of course, Ken Paxton's going to be super busy. He's going to be super busy with all of this. Woo. And we'll see, because I haven't seen him respond to this yet, but when I do, I'll have that. Yeah, it's heating up. And then you have this. Yeah, go ahead and play this. This is Karine Jean-Pierre. She goes after, this was just moments ago, she went after the Republican governor supporting Texas on the border. Listen to this.
Texas in its standoff with the U.S. at the border.
So here's what I would say, my message to those, how many governors in that letter?
I believe it's 25.
25 governors. I would say to them that, are they, you said Republican governors?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I would say to them that if they truly want to help with the issue at the border, with the immigration system, that they need to talk to their, they need to talk to the congressional members, the senators in their state. That's what they need to do. They need to ask them to make sure that they have the resources they need within their respective states to take action, right? To actually deal with a broken system. The way that we deal with this is legislatively. The way that we deal with this is for Congress to act. And so that's what those 25 Republican governors need to do. They really want to help. They really want to assist. They really want to see change with the immigration system. They really want to fix the challenges that we see at the border. Then they should talk to their senators and their congressmen or congresswomen who are in their states.
Well. Look at you. Kane does the wise man, I'm going to pet my beard move. Yes, Kane, go ahead. Thoughts? I saw snark brewing. Go ahead. Go on.
Look, are we a federalist nation or are we not a federalist nation?
Oh, we are.
So states' rights supersede federal government. Federal government doesn't even have rights. They have permissions that we've given them.
Preach.
So I don't understand her stance on this or the Biden administration's stance on this.
Amen.
Or SCOTUS's decision.
Preach.
On that. So anyway, that's why I was petting my beard.
Mm-hmm. There you go. See, I'm like very, very like politely church mouse flavin' it.
I have a tell, apparently. I can't play poker with you.
No, you can't. No, dude. Everybody's got a tell. Everybody has a tell. But yeah, they have. And I like what you, and that's exactly right. They don't have the rights. They have the permission from the states to do that. Okay, so where does this end? What's next after this? What are they going to do after this? Because it's just going to be like ramping up. So what's going to happen after this? You got the one deadline that's passed. So where do we go? We got former FBI leaders literally warning congressional members of an imminent terror threat because of the border crisis. What's it going to take? You got Joe Biden, who's kneecapping us with LNG because he's mad at Texas. That's hurting us so bad. It's going to hurt our European allies that were weaned off of dirty Russian gas. I mean, we've got known terrorists coming across the border. 10 former FBI executives sent a letter to members of Congress saying, hi, you got terrorists coming across there. There's going to be a preventable terrorist threat. That's what's going to happen. You need to be paying attention. Now, what happens next? They sent the letter. They all signed it. It's up online, letter is. So what's next? What are they going to do? How is the federal government? Because if what Biden is doing with Texas, he can do this with any state. Unless states hold the line and push back. And so that's, then we have this, you have Dan Patrick saying you can't mess with Texas. And listen to this, because Dan Patrick says you don't want to confront Texas law enforcement. Listen to this.
The mistake the Biden administration could make would be confronting law enforcement or our military, our National Guard, at our border, at this park, when we're actually doing the job that the American people want. So if they come down and create a situation, all of America already knows now, they will clearly see that the Democrats are willing to take on a state that is operating under our constitutional right to protect our people and protect this country. I don't think even Biden will make that mistake.
Remains to be seen.
He's very generous. Dan Patrick is being very generous here, the LG of Texas. He's being very generous. Never underestimate the stupidity of Joe Biden. How did Barack Obama say it? That was
almost word for word the way he said
Yeah. Never underestimate the ability of Joe Biden to blank something up.
Yeah, that's it.
Don't count him out yet. There's still a lot of time for stupid. There's still a lot of time for stupid, Lieutenant Governor. You still got a lot. And then he's freezing the LNG. Like, him doing that on top of it is even more ridiculous. Now, Abbott's actually in India right now. He went to this thing in New Delhi. Some people are going, well, why is he in India? Because we don't want them to be friends with the Chinese. And because Texas has a lot of business with India. India has now beat China in being the most populous nation in the world. We need them as allies. You have to cultivate that relationship as an interest of national security. And that's why he's over there. It's a smart move. Absolutely a smart move. So asserting the right of self-defense under Article 1, Section 10. That's what, and all these Republican governors, they got their big old joint statement out. And they're releasing that. I'm going to send all this out to you. I'm going to have all this set up and sent out to you in one big email. Because we're going to watch this. I mean, what is he going to do? Send the feds out to stand right across from Texas Guard and all the others? Seriously?
No, I don't know.
You know how many Texans are... Look, I'm not saying I'm like this, but y'all know some people that are like, we have waited our whole lives for this.
Right. The time has come.
Y'all seen Tremors, right? Right with... oh my gosh, I can't even think of. Michael Gross. You seen Tremors? What was their names? Bert and what were their names in the movie? No, his name was Bert. And they had, Bert Gummer. That's his name. Keep calm and be Bert Gummer. Yeah, that's what it was. Him and his wife and oh my gosh.
Kevin Bacon was in that
too. Well, yeah, Reba McEntire was his wife. I can't remember what her name was in the thing, but Reba McEntire was
Heather Gummer.
That's right, Bert and Heather Gummer. So everybody knows of Bert and Heather Gummer. Maybe you don't. I do. I got a lot of Bert and Heather Gummers in my family. I got a lot of Bert and Heather Gummers that are my friends. Some might say, aside from the elephant gun, which I do not have, and a couple of other things that they got that I don't have, you know, we're very similar to the Gummers. I'm just saying there are people who are like, we have waited our whole life. Yeah, what's the joke? Who was it that was making the joke? That, you know, some people, it was Sebastian Maniscalco. He's like, you know, some people, you know, that somebody breaks in their house and they're like, oh my gosh, oh, call the police, go and check what that was. And he goes, and then there are other people, if their house gets broken into, they're like, yeah, you know, and it's like, those are the people that are going to be going down, like standing right there at the guard at the border. So I'm just saying, you know, don't mess. All I'm saying. You don't even need to say don't mess with Texas. Just have a finger up going no. That's it.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
We've been very, we will not shy away from calling out what we see as political games from the governor, because it is not safe. It does not protect our communities. It's not, it doesn't help Border Patrol to do their jobs. So we will continue to call that out. That's not going to hold us back. But the president, you know, he is a president for all Americans. You know, it's not about the governor of Texas. It's about the people of Texas.
Then why are you acting against the best interests of the people of Texas if it's about the people of Texas? I mean, I would love to know that. That's Karine Jean-Pierre. I mean, I just, I don't believe what she's saying here. I don't believe it. And this is, yeah, and Kane was noting too, we were talking about this ban that they have of LNG, liquefied natural gas. Is Texas the third largest exporter in the world?
I think they are. Or
I was
at least
looking
not,
through my bookmark
exporter,
system. I'm looking through my bookmark system trying to
producer exporter.
Well, I know in the United States they're number one.
Right. And I think they're number three in the world. I'm almost positive I read that like recently.
Oh man, dang. I mean, what do they think is gonna happen with all the talk that they have of Russia and Ukraine? I mean, because they're, oh, you gotta help Russia, you gotta help Ukraine. What do they think is gonna happen when you do stuff like this? When you kneecap your European allies' ability to have an alternative to Russian gas? Because where are they gonna go if they're not getting it from us?
Exactly.
Seriously, where are they gonna go? Actually,
they're just funding then the war, right? In Ukraine? They're funding Russia's side of it?
Norway. Some of them get it from Norway. Some of them get it only a pittance, because the European Commission replaced it mainly by LNG from the U.S. We supply 46% of EU's LNG imports.
Wow, that's huge.
Wow. That's
so now he's a fight at the border, and all of a sudden Biden is pausing all of these liquid natural gas products. I mean, this isn't just coincidence or some sort of, you know,
who's helping Russia now?
Love for the environment or something, whatever he's saying. It's not. It's a high school fight, and he's using jobs and our economy to have this fight.
I mean, are they actually going to risk if they are constantly going on and on and on about if they're going on and on and on about, you know, in Russia and Ukraine and how you don't want to, you're not supposed to help Russia, then isn't this that?
Yep. They're assisting Russia in their efforts to fight Ukraine. That's exactly what Biden's policy is doing.
We provide, and that other, without that, where are they going to go? Without getting the, because this is the other thing I'm looking into. So where are they going to, I mean, are they going to have to go back to, seriously, are they going to, I mean, where are they, if they, what, Qatar?
There's not a lot of options.
They have, it's U.S., Qatar, Russia, and Algeria. Those, I think, are the biggest ones. We're gonna talk more about this. Today in Stupidity.
Woo! I could have picked the low-hanging fruit of Joe Biden, but I chose John Kirby today. This is what he's saying in regards to securing the release of the remaining hostages, including American citizens in Gaza. Listen to this.
We're hopeful about the progress, but I do not expect, we should not expect, any imminent developments.
What?
And I certainly won't get into negotiating here from the podium or speculate about possible outcomes.
What?
Suffice it to say that at every level, from the president right on down, we're doing everything we can to bring these moms and dads.
Okay. I'm not confident at all.
There you go. Folks, have a wonderful weekend. We are going to be back in the studio. The simulcast will be back on Monday. God bless. Have a great weekend.